And for the good song service and for the sweet meeting we've had thus far. And just pray that the Lord would be with us the rest of the meeting and supply what we need from His Word. We know that the Bible is the scripture that's given by inspiration of God. It's a word of prophecy that is a more sure word of prophecy that has been given to us as the Holy Spirit moved men to pen it down. And we would do well to look to it and lean upon it until the day star comes and arises in our hearts. I believe that means until the Lord returns, we have His Word that we need to look to for our guidance and for our direction. The Old Testament says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we're thankful that the Lord has provided, by inspiration of God, His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says for us in verse 2, to preach the Word, and to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is what we want to be preaching today, is the Word of God. And it's only God's Word that will guide us and direct us and lead us. In order to be able to preach, we need the Lord's blessing. How can they preach except they be sent? And we need the Lord not only to send us, but that we need the Lord to give us the Word, to supply unto us the Word. And the Word of God is very important. It's valuable to us. The life and immortality that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to light through the gospel. The gospel doesn't bring life, but it brings life and immortality to light. It allows you to see the truth. The gospel is written. We have the written word that has been provided for us. And then the preacher is to preach. He's to preach the written word. He's to preach the preach word. So we have the written word, and then we have the preach word, and then we have the living word. And if I have a subject matter today, I want to focus on the living word. The living word is not a thing, it's a person. The living word is referred to in the scripture as a he. The living word is very important. Because without the living word, the preach word will be of no benefit. Without the living word, the written word will be of no benefit. The written word, though man thinks it might give you life, he said for them to search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They think they have eternal life in the written word, but search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The written word tells us about the living word. And the preach word declares the living word. The preach word declares the written word, which declares the living word. It all fits together. But without the living word, there would be no preach word. And if there was any preaching, there would be no hearing of the preach word. And without the living word, there would have not been any written word in order to preach. And the written word would have been of no benefit, for there were many who had the Bible and had parts of the Bible, but they had no understanding. Remember the eunuch that was riding along the road, and he said, when he came down to, do you understand? Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man guide me. Well, I think already the living word had operated on the eunuch. You see, the living word had already taken place, had done a work of grace in the eunuch, because the eunuch had traveled many miles to go to Jerusalem, from where he was in Egypt, to go to Jerusalem to worship. Now, why would he have gone to Jerusalem to worship? Why wouldn't he have just done like so many Gentiles did and just cut down a tree and carve an image and bow down to that image? Because he knew there was a God that does not need to be made. He knew there was a God that you could not create, that didn't need creating, but the God that had created him. He knew that. And he'd been to Jerusalem for the worship. And there, as he traveled along the road on the way back home, he was reading from the Bible. And that's an amazing thing, that he would have a Bible to read. We need to fix this door somehow. No, there's something down there. But I don't know who can do that. But I think it's my weight that pushes down on the door, and it, you know, that it cocks this a little bit. And the next thing, I'm going to either need to open it up or try that. Maybe it'll stay that way. Anyway, it's a hindrance to me, but that's okay. You got to have some excuse, right? But anyway, the priest, what it was, he was desiring to hear about the living word. That's what he wanted to know about. And so he read from the Old Testament chapter of Isaiah, and he had the scroll. He didn't have the whole Bible, but he had that parchment, that scroll, and he was reading from that. And how valuable that would have been in that day and age. But he had that Old Testament text, which was written by the prophet Isaiah many years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that talked about Jesus coming into this world and offering himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of his people. And that's what Jesus did. The Old Testament, the written word, declared the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if the Lord had not opened his eyes, if the Lord had not opened his ears, if the Lord had not touched his heart, he would have had no desire for the God of Israel. He would have no hunger to know more about him. He wouldn't care what that 53rd chapter or any other, and at that time it wasn't numbered, but he wouldn't have cared what that passage said and what it meant. But here he desired enough to know about it that the Lord sent to him Philip to preach. Now, why did Philip go to the eunuch? Did he go to save the eunuch as far as heaven and immortal glory is concerned? No, that work's been done. You say, how do you know that work's been done? Because Jesus had already come. Jesus has died on the cross. Jesus not only died, but he rose again. Jesus has ascended back into his Father in heaven. Jesus has been ushered into heaven. It is sitting on the throne. And even as the eunuch prayed and as Philip prayed, the reason their prayers were heard, or the reason they even offered them, is because the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had already done the work that Isaiah was prophesying about, that he was coming to do. Jesus has done it. And now the preacher is telling the eunuch about what has happened, not in order to make it so, but because it is so. We're not here today to tell you something to make it so. We're here to tell you something because it is so. What is so? We have a high priest. We have one we can look to who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the light.
Amen.
We have the one to look to who's the light of the world, who's the bread of life, who's the everlasting God, who's the mighty counselor, wonderful, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, to talk about today. When he says preach the word, is he saying preach the written word, or is he saying preach the living word? I say he's saying both. Because when you preach the written word, you're preaching the living word. You getting that? When Philip was talking to the eunuch about Isaiah, he said, is the prophet speaking of himself? That's what the eunuch asked. Is the prophet speaking of himself or of some other? And he said, he opened the book there, and Philip preached from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus Christ. And when he preached Jesus Christ, I believe he told him about what he was coming to do. I believe he told him about what state we were in, what shape we were in before the Lord came to us. He told us about our weakness. He told him about his need. He told him that he was in sin and separated from God, and no way to recover from that other than what the Lord would do for him. And that the Lord had come, and that the Lord had done that. And when the eunuch heard that, can you imagine the peace that came in his heart? Because he was troubled about, how could I ever have fellowship with the Lord? You've been there, troubled? But how could I ever have fellowship with the Lord? How could the Lord hear my prayers? How could the Lord have fellowship with me here in this world? And how could it possibly be that I'd ever be able to be with Him in heaven in immortal glory when I die? When I leave this world, because I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's part of the word, to tell you that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought we were going to look at Romans 3. I'll just encourage you to read it. Romans 3 lays out in detail how far away from God we really are. How our mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. How our feet are swift to shed blood. How there is no fear of God before our eyes. How we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one. That when God looked down from heaven, according to Psalm 14, He looked upon all mankind and He saw us all in a state of need and destitute. What He saw fit to do is to love out of that fallen family of man a great number of people out of every nation and kindred and tongue. Not everybody, because the election didn't cover everyone, but it covered every one of His children. And you might say, well, suppose I'm on the outside of that election. If you're on the outside of the election, you won't have any hunger. You won't have any thirst. You won't have any desire for the preached word. You won't have any desire for the written word. Because without the living word doing a work of grace in your heart, you don't have any of that. Do you have a hunger to know more about Him? I don't know why you'd be here this morning if that's not part of it. Do you want to know Him more? Do you feel the need of having Him with you in your life? Do you need Him? Do you understand that there's a God who made the heavens and the earth? And you understand it in your heart because He's made Himself aware unto you. Can you sing the song, He lives, He lives? I know He lives because He walks with me and He talks with me. And He lives within my heart. Then you've experienced the living Word. He's come and taken up His abode in your heart. He said, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That means we're to come from the Scripture. Let me read to you a text, and we're not going to be very long before you, just a few more minutes, and we're going to step aside, the Lord willing. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews. Keep me straight, Brother Jackson. Hebrews 4:12. Says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here he says, for the word of God is quick. Now is that talking about the preached word or the written word or the living word? Well, that's a pretty easy question to answer. Because the word quick means living. It means alive. Remember in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That is, he made you alive. And so the word of God here under consideration is not the preach word. And that's very important because there are men that believe that it's the preach word that brings life. That's why they go about trying to make sure they preach to everybody that they can in order that they might hear the word and believe the word, and in doing that, they might get life. Well, the Bible teaches, though, is that the life comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. That all that the Father foreknew, all that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world, He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. He predestinated them unto the adoption of children. That means He predestinated that they would all be made alive. Not by the Word of God which is before us. This Word of God wasn't given to give us life. But by the living Word which we read about over in John 1. If you go over with me real quickly into John chapter 1, we'll see where the Word is laid out here. He says, in the beginning was the Word. There is the Word that is alive. He was alive then. He's always been alive. He lived and then He died and then He rose again. And He ever lives now to make intercession for us. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We find in the writings of John also in 1 John chapter 5. He says, there are three that bear record in heaven. Three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You'll find that doctrine throughout the Bible. It's known as the doctrine of the Trinity. That there is one God, and there is only one Lord. We serve a one God, and one God only, but He manifests Himself in three persons. And here we have the eternal Word, the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And get this, how powerful is He? All things were made by Him. Amen. And without Him was not anything made that was made. This Word has a male pronoun. It's a Him. And verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, if it were not for Him, there would be no life. And if it were not for Him, there would be no life. So today, if you're alive, is it because a preacher preached to you? Absolutely not. Is it because you read your Bible? Absolutely not. But I've already pointed out the great importance of reading your Bible and hearing preaching, because it tells you about the One who gave you life and the One who gave you light. And that was the living Word who was with God in the beginning, who verily was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on in verse 14 of that same chapter, in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. He says, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we don't have to question who the Word is. Who is the Word? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the living Word. He goes on and he says, and John bare witness of Him, and that's John the Baptist, saying, this is He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, we know that John, naturally speaking, was born before Jesus. But John was not before Jesus, because before Jesus ever came into this world, he was with the Father in the Father's bosom before the foundation of the world. Jesus didn't just show up But Jesus has been, He is the Word, the eternal Son of God. He's always been the Son of God, and He will ever be the Son of God. Isn't that good to know? That the one we pray to and the one we look to for life is not a weak, feeble, wanting to be Jesus, but a Savior who came to save His people from their sins, and He had the power to do it, He had the will to do it, and He's done it. It's a finished work. He says, of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by, and here's where we get the name of the Word, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Jesus came as a prophet. How did He come as a prophet? He came to proclaim the gospel and declare what He was going to do. He prophesied of that. Where did we get the gospel from? The Old Testament prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and we are teaching the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given of the Father unto Him, and as that prophet, in that role as a prophet, He was equal with God in His essence. And who He is, He's equal with God. He's one with God. He was not less than God. But He took on He humbled Himself and took upon Himself a body of flesh and was made in a way that you and I might eventually be able to be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. A price had to be paid. A sin debt had to be paid. And one had to come to pay that. And so what He did was humble Himself. And He came in the womb of a virgin and was born. That's what we celebrate this time of the year, although we ought to be celebrating it all, every day, all year long. We ought to have Christmas and Easter all year long, where we think about the birth and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we think about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we think about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But none of our thinking about it causes us to be His. It just shows evidence that we are. That's good news. Because if it had been left up for you and me to get it straight, you know what we would have had done? We would have to be perfect. And not only just starting being perfect now, we got to fix everything we've messed up to this point. We've got to even go back and fix everything our mom and daddy messed up and their mother and daddy messed up, all the way back to Adam. Because in Adam, we inherited a polluted bloodline. It is not in us to change our ways and go another direction and just start going. It takes a power that's not in us. It takes the work of Almighty God. That work happened in the eunuch. That work happened in an Apostle Paul who was a Saul of Tarsus that hated the church. And that work happened in God's children in the Matthew the publican, in a little publican that would smote upon his breast and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That work of grace happened. And if you love the Lord today, that work of grace happened in you. Why? Because God loved you before the foundation of the world, and He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And what Jesus did, He accomplished, and He finished that work. And on Calvary, He took from you your sins, which would separate you from God and separate you from heaven and all the beauty of it. And He took that and put it on His Son. And He who knew no sin, listen, there wasn't a spot and a blemish in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That Word that came down from heaven became flesh. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. And as our High Priest, He offered Himself once to God, a perfect sacrifice for the sin of His people, and the price has been paid, the sin debt has been removed, and you and I don't have to fear when the time comes for us to leave this world. You know why? Because we're not trusting in the preacher getting it right. We're not trusting in you and I reading the Word and getting it right. Oh, I'm thankful for the written Word, and I'm surely thankful for the preached Word. But if it wasn't for the living word, there wouldn't be a preached word. There wouldn't be any written word. And I would have no interest in it, no desire for it. I had to be cut to the heart. I had to have a change in my heart. I had to have a change in my mind. I had to be brought down from a high and haughty place that I was in by nature and made to see how much I need the Lord. I need Him. And I had to be shown that. And if you recognize you need Him, do you know you need Him today? If you do, it's the Lord who has shown you that. And He did that by the living Word that was with God in the beginning. He says, for the Word of God is quick. That means He's alive. And He's powerful. He says in one place, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that's why we're to go forth and share this gospel with those of God's little children who have an ear to hear it and an eye to see it. Don't think for a minute we don't believe in preaching the gospel, because we surely do. We believe we ought to share this truth wherever the Lord opens the door. And we ought to share it, but we do know this. My sharing the truth won't make a little child of God. It might feed one or two. It might cause one of them to smile a little bit more than they would, or maybe even cry a little bit. It may cause them to feel something in their heart, but if it does, it's because the living Word got to them. Not me, not it, but Him. Listen, if you don't have Him, this won't mean anything. It's all about Him. It's all about what He's done for you. It's about Him awakening you to that reality. I can't do it. I can preach loud, and I do. I can do all of those things, but I can't reach into the heart and cause you to feel that in your heart. I can't make you see it. I can't make you know it. I can't make you understand it. The eye hath not seen it. The ear has not heard it. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. But I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ wants it in your heart, and I say wants in a sense, I don't even like using the word wants with Him, because when He purposes for it to be in your heart, He'll knock the door down. He'll open up your mind and your heart to it where you feel it in your very core. And you can't ignore it. You can try to ignore it. You can say, I really don't think I need that. I don't want that. It gets in my way from what I want to do in this world. It causes me to, I'll have to live differently. And you will. I'll have to talk differently. And you will. I'll have to behave differently. And I'd rather just keep on going in my life. I'm comfortable. But I'm telling you what He does. He makes you, you know this. He makes you uncomfortable. I just can't stay away. I need Him too much. I need to have Him in my life when I'm in trouble. I need to have Him to look to and lean upon, because He's made me know that He is. And I need to be on my knees before Him, thanking Him for coming into this world and dying for me and securing my heaven and my home in glory and giving me His church. Listen, He's built the church. He's placed it here in this world. He's given me a place of fellowship, a place where I can come and sit down and out of the troubles of this world and learn from His Word. He gives me strength as I face life troubles and life problems. And I can act like I don't want to have that, but He's made it too real to me. You see, you don't have any trouble walking away from the preacher. You don't have any trouble walking away from the Bible until the living Word gets you. And when the living Word gets you, He gives you a hunger for the Bible. And He gives you a hunger for the preacher. You may even start liking that old fellow that you didn't think much of. And I don't mean just the preacher. I mean anyone. You know what the old time religion, what does that song say? The old time religion makes me what? Makes me love everybody. Brethren, when our heart gets right, we start loving those folks that sometimes we think, well, I don't know whether I care for that person very much at all. And then what the Lord does is He allows you to see what you are by nature. And then He allows you to see how much He's forgiven you. And then you start looking at everybody else a whole lot differently. You recognize that if it's not for God's forgiveness, there's no hope in any of us. I wanted to say this. The Word of God is quick. That means it's living and it's powerful. And I say it, He. He lives, He's powerful, and He's sharper than any two-edged sword. Which means when it comes time to circumcise your heart, He don't send a preacher to do that. He does that. And when can He do it? He can do it in a mother's womb. when a little baby's there in its mother's womb, he calls a little John the Baptist to leap for joy in his mother's womb. He can do it in the dying moments when one is dying on a cross. He can do it whenever he sees fit to do it. Here's the fact of the matter. If you love the Lord today, it's because somewhere along the way, he pierced your heart. He divided asunder your heart. He circumcised your heart. And he made you a new creature. He did that for you. Why did he do it? Because he loved you. Why did he love you? Because he wanted to. And he does everything according to his own good pleasure, according to his own will, and he doesn't have to check in with me and you about it. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the everlasting Father, the one we trust in, and the one who is our profession. He says, he's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. How deep can the Lord get in us? All the way to the core. We can just see the surface with one another. We can talk to one another on the outside, but we can't get in very deep, can we? But I'll tell you what the Lord can do. He, with a still small voice, can blow the wind of grace in your life and turn your whole life upside down and completely around. And if he's done that for you, you've been made aware of that. You know that already. And when you hear it preached, it rings a place in your heart where you know that's me. That's what the Lord has done. And now there's something for you to do in response. Not to get to be his child, but in order to live in a way to honor and glorify him. He says, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's laid out in the world so many times as an invitation for how you get life. When in reality it's talking to those who've already met the living Word, who already have life and have been given life by Him, who've already been made alive, and it's telling them how you live in a way to have life abundant as you live here in this world. He's the good shepherd, isn't He? And He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. How can I have an abundant life? How can I get through in this world all its troubles and problems? How will I be able to make it? Listen, the one who has loved you so much that he died for you on the cross, and he's now seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's there for you anytime you need him, ready to hear your cry, because he's opened that door and made a way as our high priest. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. That means he knows us to our depths physically. He knows us to our depths spiritually. He knows us all the way. Jesus knows. Yes, our Father knows. And Jesus knows. And he cares. Jesus knows and he cares. And he's a discerner. He's an understander of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This couldn't be the written word or the preached word, because it can't understand the intents of your heart. This is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 13 and he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That means he sees us all today. He knows what's going on in me. He knows what's going on in you. And that sometimes frightens me to death for him to think about him knowing all of that. If it wasn't for forgiveness, if it wasn't for his love, if it wasn't for his mercy, I would simply say, woe is me. We would all say that. But because of his love, and because of his mercy, and because of his forgiveness, he knows our frame, that we're but dust, and he reaches down where we are, and he puts us in the green pastures, and sets us beside the still waters, and he restores our soul, and surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, not because we made him our shepherd, but because the Lord is my shepherd, because of what he's done for me. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him, and I love this part. He says, with whom we have to do. You can't get by. You can get by a lot of people, a lot of things. Just ignore them. Go your way. Move on. I'll tell you what, when the Lord gets your attention, you're going to pay attention. And when you don't pay attention, you'll find out what Jonah found out when you just disregard the Lord. And he didn't destroy Jonah, but he sure chastened him, didn't he? He corrected him. And he won't destroy us, but he'll sure chasten us. He'll sure correct us. He'll even suffer us at times to walk away from him like a young rich ruler did. But you won't do it happily. You'll do it sadly. Brethren, I said to you, don't be sad today. Be rejoicing. Take up your cross. Follow him. Lean upon him. Trust in him. Don't go your own course. Lean and depend upon him. Be like that eunuch. When he heard this truth, he said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me?" I'd love that as an old Baptist preacher to see somebody, rather than trying to get them to do it, have them come say, "Here's water. What doth hinder me?" That's a blessed response when you see that. What caused that? Do you think the preached word caused it? I don't. Do you think the written word caused it? I don't. I think it was the movement of the living word in the heart of one as he heard the preached word and came to an understanding of it. As he read the written word and came to an understanding of it through the living word. And I think all the glory belongs not to the preacher, not to the Bible, but to the God of heaven. Because it is he who has done these things. And he did them well. Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." In other words, we've got a great high priest. Y'all believe that? Got a great high priest. You don't need to go find some priest on earth to go talk to. Because you've got one you can go to anytime. You don't have to go seek one out and get alone and share with him a person who has no more ability than you really have outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. With the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to him when you stand in need of whatever it is you come in need of in your life. He says we have a great high priest. And where is he today? Where is our high priest? He's in the heavens. Where is our Savior? He's in the heavens. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. And then in the person of the Holy Spirit, he's right here with us today when we meet. Because when the Spirit is here, the Father is here, and the Son is here. Wherever the Father is, there's the Son and the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Son is, there's the Father and the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Because these three are one. You say, "I can't understand that. I can't either." But I believe it. I believe you believe it. I see you smiling. I believe you believe it. And that's wonderful to know that we have access unto the Father through the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit that has taken up his abode in our hearts. He says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched." Well, let me get this. 14. Oh, way over. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I hope we've made a profession. I hope we've confessed him. You know what that profession is? That without him, I'm nothing. What that profession is, that without him, I'll never get to heaven. Without him, I'll never be prepared when he comes again. Without him, I'll not be able to live right, talk right, preach right, do anything right. I need him in all that I do. And I say that as a minister, but you say it also, whatever it is God would have you to do in your life. The profession is, without Jesus, I can't do anything. And I need him. And if I have him, it's all right. And if I don't have him, it's all wrong. And it's just that simple. I believe I have him because of what he's done for me. Not that I grabbed hold of him, but he grabbed hold of you. Did he grab hold of you? You know, if he did, he'll never let go. You'll have to do with him. You'll have to deal with him. It's much better to say, "Yes, Lord. Feed me, guide me, direct me. Don't let me be like Jonah. Don't let me be like Peter. Don't let me be like Thomas. Don't let me be like Gary. Don't let me be how bad I am. Lord, please help me." And when you do that, look to him. He'll give you what you need for the storm and the task. Tried to talk a little bit about the Apostle Peter when he was out in the storm. Jesus comes walking on the water. And he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. He believed that it was him, but he still had his doubts, or he wouldn't ask the question. He'd have just gone. He said, if it be thou, bid me come. Jesus said, come. And it says for a little while, Peter walked on the water. You see, it's a wonderful thing to think about Jesus walking on the water, but he's our great high priest. I know he can walk on the water, don't you? But you know what else he did? He had this much power. He made that weak Peter, that little weak brother, step out of the boat and walk on the water. You said, but he didn't walk long. No, but he walked. He took a step or two. I don't know how long he walked, but his eyes went off for the Lord for just a minute. That's what happens to you and me when our eyes go off the Lord. Losing a football game can cause that. I mean, I know, I've been there. You can have things go. A lot of things can cause that. Get your eyes off the Lord and think, did he let me down? No, he's never let you down. He's been right there with you. He's been protecting you, and he will continue. And when you look to him, you'll find what you need every time. Why would you look to him? Because he's the living word that gave you that understanding. And then as you look to him, he'll allow you to walk on water. You say, you mean literally water? Well, if necessary, it could be that. But I'm telling you, whenever you do the things that only can come from him, it's by his power that you do them, and he gives you that strength. When do you stop doing it? When you drop your eyes and look somewhere else. That's when the preacher stops preaching. That's when you stop loving like you ought to, forgiving like you ought to, and you wonder, why am I so miserable? You know why? You know why we get that way? Because I stopped looking to him. When I look to him, he's my peace. And if I'm not at peace, then I'm obviously not looking to him. You say, well, I got a lot going on. Well, you think there wasn't a lot going on in that storm? He walked on the water, though, didn't he? When his eyes was on Jesus. And then when Jesus came into the boat, immediately the storm stopped and everything got calm. And then the amazing thing is they didn't even have to travel anywhere to be on land. They were immediately at the shore. Already at the shore. Anyway, when you have a mind prayer, remember me.